Previously, on Tales of the Ironlands, Kalyra, having made peace with the spirits of the elves that she slew, and having helped the Skaran tribe to find a new equilibrium, returned her attention to the problem of rescuing her father. She secured fresh supplies, made friends with Belisant, the apprentice Kokari, and finally achieved her goal of learning about primordials. The Kokari told her that the Vanhimat, primordials, have many powers, but they are unlike most creatures in that they cannot reproduce. According to the mythology of the elves, this is because they were created rather than born. Each type was made by a different one of the first, the spirits who came from the world itself. But, like other creatures, they will, in time, die. Varys could not say with any certainty what led this specific primordial to try transforming her father, but he was able to tell her that there are two other cases in which this is known to have happened: an elven man who became an air primordial, and an elven woman who turned into a fire primordial. Both made the change voluntarily, as the price for a bargain struck with the primordials. He therefore speculated that her father may have made such a bargain, and that if she wants to save him, she must find out what it was, and see if there is any other price that will satisfy the primordial. Varys also told her a bit about death-touched, and becoming death-touched. It can change you. And that she will likely find it easier to reach out and speak with the dead, now that she has struck a bargain with the Black Lady. He urged her to remember that death is, in its own way, a part of the Mother's balance, and not to let fulfilling her vow to the Black Lady become her whole identity. Before she left, Kalyra reported that the snapped halves of Rollet's mask had appeared in her room, and this caused great consternation for Varys. The shattered mask of a murderer is an object of ill omen, but not one to be disposed of lightly. He gave her a length of silk to wrap it in, and cautioned her to keep it safe, but not to dwell on it. Resupplied, rested, and with a new goal, Kalyra left the tribe of the Skaran and began making her way back to the cave of the primordial to confront it once again. I think the logical opening move is simply to begin a journey, which... Now, do I want to go straight to the cave of the primordial, or do I want to stop by Alia Anor's house on the way back? Well, looking at my map, I suspect it's pretty much one and the same. The two are pretty close to each other, and it looks like it wouldn't save very much time to skip a visit to Alianor's house. So that's what we're going to do. I am going to mark this as a dangerous journey, I think. She's traveled this land before, this path. She knows where she is going. And I don't want to spend too long on overland journeys, which seems to have occupied quite a lot of time during the opening sessions of the game. So, simply dangerous. They're also not terribly far apart. At some point I must scan this and put it up. Resupplying and the interview with the Kokari occupied most of the morning. I believe Kalyra ate lunch with the Skaran before she departed, and now she is going to set her face to the northeast and begin the journey back. So, we're going to undertake a journey. I share a bond with the Skaran elves, specifically with Belisant, so I get plus one on top of my wits. Rolling at plus three. I have a 7. 4 plus 3 is 7. Versus a 6 and a 1. So that is a strong hit. Do I want to trade supply for momentum? No, my momentum is at 7 and my supply is at 3. So that's pretty good. I will just mark progress. Okay, 2 progress out of 10. Kalyra crosses the river to the east side and begins trotting along it. She knows that the Bantu clan, somewhat north of here, dwells on the west side of the river. She hopes to avoid any further entanglements with them, as she knows she is not welcome there. It is about a day's travel up, and she has half a day of travel before the nightfall will come. As she travels, she keeps an eye out for edible plants, or anything, any medicinal herbs she might harvest. She wants to keep moving, but she also needs to keep an eye on her supplies. She knows that she will be no use to her father if she shows up starving and beaten to death. So, we're going to resupply. I have a 5, 3 plus 2 is 5, versus a 4 and a 9. That is a weak hit. I will gain plus 2 supply at the cost of 1 momentum each, raising my supply to 5 and dropping my momentum to 5. The deep wilds are a lush and verdant area. The trees are enormous and old, and there is enough light coming through the canopy here and there that there are patches of growing things. It's still fairly early spring, so it's too early for much of the berries or nuts she might hope to get later in the summer and in the fall after it. But early spring greens are good eating. She finds miner's lettuce and a variety of other fresh green plants that she can supplement her diet with. She also finds some fresh supplies of willow bark. She takes a moment to harvest, and a variety of other medicinal herbs. Towards the end of the day, as the shadows are growing long beneath the trees of the deep wilds, she looks for a spot to camp, and finds one. She decides to step away from the banks of the river a little bit, not terribly far, just, oh, a couple of minutes' walk away. Far enough that she will not be immediately obvious to the eye should someone pass by on a boat, for example. She doesn't know if the elves use boats on this river, but it is possible. And we're going to make camp. I have failed. I rolled a natural 1 on the action die, plus 5 from supply versus double 9s. So, I need to pay the price. I think I'm going to roll on the pay the price table for that, rather than just give myself some ideas here. All right, what does the price look like this evening? 20. Your action has an unintended effect. Huh. Okay. Kalyra had made her way away from the river because she was hoping to avoid attention. And the place she settled on for her camp was at the base of a particularly large tree, a larch, I think, with black and white streaked bark. She makes her camp there, confident that she won't be seen from the river. Gathers up some dry wood, pushes away the litter of the forest floor, dead leaves, and sticks, bracken, and makes a small campfire. She digs a small pit in the sandy loam of the soil to hold the fire, and sets it alight, makes herself some dinner. And then Kalyra goes to sleep. But she does not stay that way for long. As she sleeps, she dreams. She dreams of an old woman cackling in the darkness. She dreams of long, spindly, withered hands emerging from the blackness, reaching for her. And she wakes suddenly in the dark of the night to discover that the tree she has bedded down against is leaning down towards her. The bark that she leaned up against has begun to grasp at her, and I think she's going to have to fight to get free of this tree. We'll call it an elder larch. And I think this will be a dangerous fight. And not one that can be readily fought with weapons. There in the darkness of the clearing, Kalyra can hear the branches of the larch rubbing together, raspy in the darkness. This is the cackling that she heard in her sleep, and it is strangely hypnotic, strangely soothing in some ways. And we're going to first enter the fray, and then we'll see what happens. I believe that she was ambushed, so this will be wits at plus two. She has rolled a 6, 4 plus 2, versus a 3 and a 9. So it's a weak hit. Does she want momentum or initiative? I think it would be more interesting to take the momentum. So, momentum up to 7. The tree leans. It leans. It's strangely unnerving to see wood twisting and bending this way. And she can almost hear a voice in the rubbing and the crackling of the bark and the branches, and as she listens to what it says in its strange, crackling, whispery voice, she can't understand it, but she listens. And we're going to roll a face danger. Okay, this I think... This is a spiritual threat. This is magic. I think probably Shadow. No, that doesn't make sense. She's trying to resist it. She's not trying to perform it. Shadow would be more for performing magic. So we're going to roll heart to resist the crackling and the whispery voice. All right. Rolling heart for face danger. Heart is plus 3. I have a 3 plus 3 is 6 versus a 6 and an 8. So I have missed. I need to pay the price. I think the obvious price is that Kalyra listens a little too long and a little too deeply. What is it? She says, the raspy branches creak in the darkness. I hear, yes, says Kalyra. What do you want of me? And I think, essentially, Kalyra has lost this fight with one roll. But the tree doesn't want her death. The tree wants her service. This is going to be something that will slow her down, something that will prevent her from continuing her voyage back to the Primordial's cave. The tree has enspelled her. What does it want? I'm going to ask the Oracle. I think action and theme? Well, let's start with theme. And then maybe roll action to go with it if I don't think of something off the theme. All right, Oracle, what sort of service does the Elder Larch want? It's come up 60. On theme, that's weakness. I'm going to roll action as well. 39. Destroy. Destroy weakness. I had to pause the recording for about 5 minutes there while I thought about that, but I think I've decided what's going on. The larch leans down over Kalyra, its branches rasping and creaking, and she listens to it. Oh, I see. You're diseased. Yes, I am a healer. Of course, I will help you. How can I help you overcome this weakness in yourself? The branches creak and rasp. Oh, you're hungry. You want me to bring you nourishment. What kind of nourishment? What do you need? But she doesn't really need to ask. She knows. It wants her to water its roots with blood, and is not especially particular as to where she gets it. It could be hers. It could be an animal of the forest. It could be one of the elves who lives in the area. She reaches a hand up and touches her sword blade. I swear I will bring you what you need, she says. So she's going to swear an iron vow while under the mental control of an elder larch. So, I don't want to modify these mechanics at all. Nope, that'll work fine. She is going to just roll heart for swearing an iron vow. This is a little unexpected. She's got a 3 + 3 = 6 versus double sixes. So there's a twist. Well, she has failed her swear, to swear an iron vow. So rather than forswear, which is not an option here, the tree is not going to let her not do this. She is instead going to take a -2 momentum, dropping her back down to 5. And because it was a double 6, there is going to be a twist. Moving like a sleepwalker or a person in a dream, Kalyra stands and gathers her supplies. I will return with what you need, she says. And she strides out into the darkness of the deep wilds night, looking for a source of blood to feed the elder larch. It is not long before she finds one. She wanders in slow, meandering spiral out from the larch, alert for movement, listening for any prey. And the first thing that she spots is light in the forest. She draws her sword and advances stealthily on this campsite. I'm going to face danger with Shadow to approach the campsite unobserved. I have failed, not surprisingly. I rolled a 2 on the die, plus 1 for Shadow is 3 versus a 4 and a 9. So, Kalyra is, it must be said, not terribly stealthy. As she makes her way through the darkened forest, anyone paying even a little bit of attention is likely to notice her. As she comes to the camp, she finds there is a single figure there who has stood up. He looks out into the darkness, the light gleaming from his brown mask. He calls out, "Who's there?" He has a spear in his hand. Kalyra emerges from the bushes, unspeaking. "Oh, it's you," says the man, and in a distant way, she recognizes Ainari, the failed leadership candidate from the Skaran tribe, the one who had to leave. "I wondered if you might be coming up this way." "Whoa! What are you doing?" And she lunges out at him, sword raised, and we are going to enter the fray. Uh, I'm going to say this is... He was definitely surprised. He was not expecting her to jump him. So we're going to go with... this is an ambush. So she has rolled a 5 plus 1 for Shadow is 6 versus a 1 and a 10 as a weak hit. And I think, once again, I'm going to take momentum rather than... rather than initiative here. So she lunges forward, and he manages to jink to the side. As established earlier, Inari is a very fast man. He is light on his feet. As she lunges forward, he spins out of the way, leaping over his own fire, and skidding to a halt on the other side, he turns and points his spear. Now, what's going on? And she is going to go for him again. She is not in full control of her faculties here, so we're going to try a clash and hope that I don't roll well. Crap. I rolled well. All right, so that is a 7. 5 plus 2 is 7 versus a 3 and a 4. So that is a strong hit. She inflicts harm. I am going to declare that Inari is a formidable opponent. Her sword is still keen because she still hasn't rolled a one on the die during combat since she last performed that ritual. And so she inflicts 3 harm. Ah! He cries. What are you doing? And it's not you, is it? Oh. And he, as she raises her sword to strike at him once again, he is going to try to get away. So this is going to be a strike on her part because she's just trying to kill him. If she loses... She's going to strike. We'll see what happens. Oh, actually, you gain one momentum when you clash, so I better increase, or plus one harm. I'm going to choose the momentum, please. On the strike, we have a 4 plus 2 is 6 versus a 4 and an 8, so that is a weak hit. She inflicts harm and loses the initiative. So that's another 3 harm for him. Ah! He cries as she lunges forward, leaping over the fire to stab at him once again. And he says, "Good night, sweet maiden. I am not sticking around." And because she has lost initiative, he's going to turn tail and run into the forest. How do we determine whether or not he gets away? Sort of the strange thing about the narrative aspects of this is that there's no real mechanic for determining the success of an NPC's action. So what we're going to do, I think, is we're going to roll a secure advantage with Edge, which is all about speed. He's trying to get away. If Kalyra fails to keep up with him, then he has gotten away. So it's secured advantage technically for him rather than for her, but I think that'll work. Alright, so securing an advantage at Edge, plus one. Aha. She has failed with a one on the die, plus one is two, versus a two and a five. So the next question is, does Kalyra burn her momentum while she's under the mental domination of the Elder Larch? I don't think she does. She could make that into a strong hit, but I think she retains just enough control that she is not going to do that. Ainari turns and spins away from her. As he does so, he rips off his mask and hurls it in her face, not having anything else to throw at her. And it collides with her face and falls to the forest floor, and by the time she recovers from this, he is pelted away into the darkness. For a few minutes, she runs after him, her blue eyes glowing in the darkness of the forest, the eyes of a death touched. But she has lost him. He has slipped away. She comes to a halt, standing, looking around at the darkened trees, and then resumes her long, slow spiral around the Elder Larch, looking for anything. Any large creature she might kill and bring to sate the Elder Larch's thirst for blood. So I'm going to mark progress on the vow to serve the Elder Larch because she tried really hard there. Ainari is in trouble. He's taken 6 damage and lost all of his supplies, including his mask, which is probably no good. It is a dangerous quest, Elder Larch. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, so that's 2 out of 10 progress. All right, so she's going to make a resupply roll, basically, at this point, to go find like a deer or something. Rolling plus wits. There is a strong hit. 6 plus 2 is 8 versus a 2 and a 6. So she is successful in locating a deer. She does have a bow and arrow, and she is moderately proficient with it. It takes most of the night she's out there, but she eventually locates a doe and her fawn. The doe raises her head and looks in Kalyra's direction. Kalyra is maybe 40 yards away, but she brings down the doe. It takes a little while for the deer to die, and then Kalyra hunts down the fawn as well, and hauls both of them back to the Elder Larch, where she cuts their throats open and sets them to drain on the roots that twist into the ground. And we're going to mark progress again on her vow to serve the Elder Larch. Kalyra leans up against the trunk and dozes off, resting a little as the tree feeds on the blood of these animals. But in time, the rustling, the creaking, wakes her again, and she dully stands and resumes her hunting. Making another resupply roll here. This one is a weak hit with a 6 plus 2 is 8 versus a 5 and an 8 on the die. So she is going to lose 2 momentum, I think. In the course of exploring the woods, Kalaira passes by the smoldering remains of the fire where Ainari was last night. He must have come back, because his gear is gone, as is his mask. Passing by it, she once again spirals outwards from the Elder Larch, hunting. She's not lucky enough to find another deer and fawn. This time she locates a raccoon. It's a much larger raccoon than usual, because these are the deep wilds, and it raises a face to look at her as she approaches. But an arrow brings it down just as well. Her mind is hazy, filled with the creakings and the twisting of branches and the sipping of roots deep in the earth. Almost without realizing it, she finds herself back at the Elder Larch, opening the throat of the raccoon to feed the tree once more, marking progress again. Once again, Kalaira takes rest, leaning against the bark of her current master? Her current master, I think, yeah. Once again, it wakes her, this time around dusk. And she goes looking once more to find blood. Blood for the Elder Larch. I have rolled a 6 is 4 plus 2 is 6 versus a 1 and a 9. It's a weak hit again. In the fog that is her current mind, Kalaira wanders. She knows what she is doing, but it feels as though it is being done by someone else. She sees the forest as she walks among it, but inside of her own mind she is walking through the fog, which parts before her and closes up again behind. In the course of her travels, looking for anything that might serve the master's thirst, she fails to notice something. She fails to notice the elves. There she is. And when she looks up, there are 3 elves there. Ainari, Varys, and Belisant. She turns to them and draws her blade, expression dull, and Varys nods and says, "It's just as you said, Ainari. She must have run into one of the elder trees." And we are going to enter the fray, and this is going to be a very difficult fight, and I need to print out a fresh progress track worksheet. Hold, please. Alright, so we are going to enter the fray against this elven rescue party, which I'm going to say is, well, Inari was formidable by himself, so with Varys and Belisant helping, I think we can safely knock it up to extreme. And here we go. This is a face-off because... Oh no, she failed that. It was a weak hit on the resupply roll there. So she has been ambushed. So what is the roll there? Wits. Rolling plus wits. Ha! Okay. I have rolled a natural one on the enter the fray here for a total of 3 versus a 6 and a 6. Once again, there is a twist. Kalyra draws her sword and lunges forward. Part of her inside of her head is screaming, "No, no, no!" But her body is moving forward, ready to kill these and take them back to the Larch. She doesn't see her friend Belisant. She doesn't see Belisant's mentor Varys. She doesn't see Inari. She sees blood for the Larch. But as she lunges forward, has failed to realize something. What is the twist here? The twist is that Inari has fought her before and knows what she is going to do in these circumstances. As she lunges forward, he reaches out with the butt end of his spear and just cracks it against her wrist, sending her sword flying and herself spinning. She must pay the price, and I think the price to pay here she's been disarmed, and I think she's also going to take 1 damage and endure harm from the crack to the wrist there. So endure harm, rolling plus health, fail. I have a 2 plus 4 is 6 versus a 7 and an 8. Momentum drops back down to 5. She is going to try to secure an advantage by getting her sword back. Even in the haze of the control the Larch exercises over her, it's like roots twisting into her mind. She knows that she needs that sword to really stand a chance in any significant fight. She scrambles after it. Secure advantage, plus edge. She has failed with a 1 on the die, plus a 1 from edge versus a 2 and a 10. So she has failed to get her sword and must pay the price. The price is that Inari is going to drop his spear and try to grab her. I think he's going to successfully grab her, as a matter of fact. So she is currently grappled, essentially. Kalyra turns and lunges for her sword, but he has anticipated this move. Inari sticks his foot out and trips her, and then leaps down upon her, grabbing one arm and wrenching it behind her. "Quickly," he calls. "Do what you can. Clear her mind." Kalyra is going to try and escape this grapple with a face danger plus iron. She has a weak hit. 5 plus 2 is 7 versus a 5 and a 10. All right, so I think that means that she a weak hit here means that she has not quite gotten free, and she's going to endure stress. The part of her that is Kalyra is screaming inside of her mind. The Kalyra that is inside of Kalyra frantically pushes away the fog, revealing roots entrapping her, and she tries to claw and tear them away, while her body struggles against Ainari's grip outside. And we're going to endure stress. She has it's higher of heart or spirit. Spirit is at +5 at the moment, so she's gotten a 10 with a 6 plus 5 for effectively 10 because it caps there, versus an 8 and a 9. So that's a strong hit. Plus 1 momentum up to +6. In the foggy forest that is Kalyra's mind at the moment, she grits her teeth and she rips away at the roots that tangle all around her. They snap under her grip and leak blood instead of sap. She is going to make a face danger roll to see if she can break free of the possession before the elves even get a chance to do anything. So she's going to roll plus heart here. Five plus three is 8 versus double 8. So she has failed. She's going to pay the price, which I think is that the roots grow up around her legs inside of her mind and pull her back. The raspy, dry voice that speaks in words without words soothes away her troubles, and she is once again fully under its control. So, she is once again going to try and get free of Ainari's grip. Face danger of iron. Six on the die, plus 2 is 7, versus a 9 and a 10. She has failed. Ainari has now grasped her around, he's got one arm around her front and her one of her arms up behind her back. Quickly, he says. And Varys pulls from his satchel at his side a series of accoutrements and begins to chant in the elven language. Kalyra has no idea what he's saying, even if she cared about it at the moment. She is going to... she is currently fully under the control of the Larch, and so she is going to try and get loose again, rolling iron face danger here. 5 plus 2 is 7... versus a 6 and a 2. And she is a strong hit. So she hurls her head backwards into Ainari's mask, and she hears a crack from behind her. He gives a brief curse, he drops, and she staggers forward. She has initiative, and she is going to just strike at Varys with her bare hands, because she hasn't got her sword. So here's a strike. 5, verses 3 and 9. All right, so she's going to inflict harm on Varys. We said this was extreme, so that's just two tick marks, because only one harm per fist. Kalyra lunges forward and brings her fist round to connect the palm of her hand, actually. She opens her hand at the last moment and smashes it against Varys' mask, sending him reeling backwards. Belisant cries out, "Kalyra, no! Listen to your heart! You're in there! Come out to us! Come out to us!" And I think Kalyra is going to hear that in the shadows, in the fog, in the roots, and she's going to try once again to tear her way free, rolling plus heart. She has a 6 plus 3 is 9 versus a 7 and a 4. "I will not stand for this," Kalyra cries. She pushes forward, rising up against the roots that tangle and pull against her. They snap as she pushes forward, ripping them aside. And then she is through. She is out. The fog dissipates, and she blinks, and she is standing in the forest, slightly bruised and surrounded by three elves. And she says, "Belisant? Varys, I'm so, so sorry." "It's all right," Belisant says, and comes forward and just wraps an arm around Kalyra's shoulder. "It's all right. You're free now. You're free." "What was that?" Kalyra says.
"Ow," says Ainari, and sits up. "Ow. I think my nose is broken. Ow."
"Oh, I did that, didn't I?" says Kalyra.
"Yeah," he says. You were right here. I'm sure you should remember that."
"Now, Ainari," says Belisant, "people don't always remember clearly what they've done in these sorts of situations."
"Indeed," says Varys. "Thankfully, my nose isn't broken. But I think I'm going to have a headache for a while."
"Oh, that," he says, Varys says, "was one of the elder trees. You must have gone to sleep too near it. They're dangerous creatures. Much of the time they sleep, we don't always know where they are because they can move slowly, usually only after they have had a solid meal. But you must have found one. There was a larch," Kalyra says slowly. "I remember, oh, the roots and the creaking. I think I killed a deer."
"Do you remember how to get back to it?"
says Varys. "Let me think," says Kalyra. And we're going to, does she remember? I'm going to ask the Oracle.
I think it's just a 50-50 chance as to whether or not she remembers. So if I roll 51 or higher, then the answer is yes. I got an 18.
"No, I don't remember. It's, I remember I... left the river. I don't think I know where it is exactly from here.
That's all right, Varys says. Do you think you could recognize the spot where you left the river when you were making camp?
Yeah, I think so, she says.
That, of course, was before she fell under the Larch's influence.
Could I get this looked at? Inari says. I mean, I really think my nose is broken.
May I? Says Kalyra. I'm so sorry.
Well, you've already seen my face.
I have? She says.
Yeah, I threw my mask at you to distract you when you attacked me the other night.
I attacked you the other night?
Boy, you really don't remember anything, do you? He says.
No.
Well, you're gonna remember it. You're gonna see it again anyway, so never mind. He takes off his mask. He's a fairly plain-looking guy, as these things go. I mean, he's not ugly, but he's not exactly handsome, and it doesn't help that his nose is, in fact, broken at the moment and bleeding. Nobody ever looks their best with a bleeding nose. All right, let me take a look, she says. Oh, my supplies. Because she has not brought her supplies, they are back with the Larch.
I brought some, says Varys, in case someone was wounded during the fight. And he passes over his satchel. Within it, Kalyra finds some familiar bandages and herbal supplies. Ruby wort, which is established good for stanching bleeding. And she's going to make a heal check. With the plus one from Herbalist, thanks to Varys' supplies. And that is wits, I believe. 2 plus 2 plus 1 is 5. Versus 4 and a 6.
Now, hold still, Kalyra says, as Inari sort of jerks his head away from her hands. I have to straighten your nose.
Do you really have to?
Gag! He says. There. Don't be such a baby, she says. And rolls up some linen and tucks it into his nose to absorb the blood. That'll have to do, she says. I don't think there's a whole lot else to be done for it other than give it time. You probably shouldn't wear your mask until it's healed.
Oh, great, he says. All right. Let's go, he says, and Varys, Belisant, and Kalyra make their way towards the river, meeting up with it.
They find that they're not too far downstream from where Kalyra turned off during her travels. It was here, she says, as they come to a spot where they're... I remember this large boulder at the side of the stream. I thought that would be a good landmark. I turned right and I went into the woods. Just a couple of minutes. That way.
All right. It's not terribly difficult to exorcise an elder tree once you know where it is. In fact... You two should stay here. Belisant and I will take care of this, Varys says.
Really? Says Kalyra.
Oh, yes. I don't want you anywhere near that tree again, says Varys. You've fallen under his control once already. Have a seat. We'll be back in a few minutes.
We'll run if we hear screaming, says Inari.
No, we won't. We'll run to help.
I was thinking the other thing, but sure.
Belisant and Varys disappear into the woods, leaving Kalyra and Ainari at the edge of the river. Ainari leans down by the river and washes the blood off his face, while Kalyra just sits on the boulder and looks at him.
"Would you mind looking elsewhere? I feel naked without my mask," he says through his broken, clogged nose.
"Oh, sorry," she says, and averts her gaze.
After a few minutes, Belisant and Varys return. Belisant has Kalyra's gear and passes the satchel to her.
"Well," says Kalyra,
and Varys shakes his head. "I told you they could move. Especially after they've had a good meal. It's gone."
"Oh," says Kalyra. "Oh.
Do you remember anything about it?" Varys says.
"It was a larch. It had white bark with black marks on it, and I fell asleep under it. I remember swearing to serve it, to bring it blood."
"That would have been me. You're a really dangerous person, by the way,"
Ainari says, and Kalyra looks extraordinarily embarrassed. "How can I make it up to you?"
"By not doing it again," says Ainari.
"Of course not," she says. "It wanted blood."
"Well, you gave it that," says Varys. "We found two dead deer, a raccoon, and I think there may have been a few birds in there as well. Although I don't remember anything about birds."
"You wouldn't, but it's possible they just landed on it at the wrong time.
In any case, it's gone now."
"Huh. I guess I fulfilled my vow," Kalyra says. "That really sucks."
"And we're going to move to fulfill her vow to serve the Elder Larch."
"Okay. She got 6 out of 10 progress on that, so there's a good chance she'll fail, but she got a weak hit with a 3 and an 8 versus the 6 progress, so she gets 1 XP for that.
"How long was I out?" Kalyra says.
"A couple of days," Varys says.
"We thought you were gone until Ainari showed up bleeding from a couple of stab wounds and wanting to know if we could help get you free of the elder tree."
"How did you recognize that as the cause, Ainari?" says Varys.
"Well, some of us pay attention when we're learning things as children. I'm not dumb," says Ainari, "even though I sound like it with my nose broken."
"Well, I'm glad to hear that one of my students was paying attention anyway. I always assumed you were busier daydreaming."
"Well, a lot of the time I was, but, you know, anything with, like, blood and guts in it was just awesome, so I paid attention to those bits."
"We should go," Belisant says, "back to the tribe. It is getting late. Kalyra,
you should be more careful, my friend."
"I didn't know they were a thing," says Kalyra.
"Well, listen," says Ainari, "I can't go back with them anyway, and I know at least a little bit about the dangers of the deep wilds.
I'm coming with you.
Oh, all right, says Kalira. Thanks.
And so she thanks Varys and Belisant once again and waves goodbye as they turn and walk back downstream towards the encampment of the Skaren.
Hey, I owe you one anyway, says Inari. Although after you attacked me, I think we might be even.
What do you mean you owe me one, says Kalira, as they set off to the north.
Oh, well, Inari says. What do you know about Elendi?
And she says, I think... Ruling castes of the tribes of elves.
Yeah, I'm one of them. You may have seen the duel. I remember seeing you at the duel.
Oh, yes. The Elendi are the leaders of the elves. And you're of that caste.
That's right. And let me tell you, it is such a drag. Spend your entire life getting prepared. Oh, man, my nose. Oh. You spend your entire life getting prepared to... Most of us don't actually get to lead, because there's generally only one leader per tribe. So you spend your entire life getting drilled on duty and honor and ritual, and then wind up just being another hunter. So you came along, and then Rolith got killed by the Hollow, and I saw my opportunity.
You mean you saw your opportunity to take leadership? Kalira says.
Hell no, says Inari. I saw my opportunity to get out. I challenged Kala for the leadership, and then I threw the fight.
Kalira laughs out loud. Seriously? You challenged her just so you would get kicked out of the tribe?
You heard me. Anyway, I have you to thank for that opportunity. So I might as well see you safely out of the deep wilds.
Considering I broke your nose today, that's awfully good of you.
And the two of them are going to undertake a journey.
Hopefully it will go better this time. I'm even going to give her a plus one on the Undertake a Journey because Belisant was there when she left. Ha! All right. So, wits. 3 plus 2 plus 1 because Belisant saw them off is a 6 versus a 1 and a 5. So a strong hit. With Inari's guidance, they make good time. They pass by the settlement of the Bantu on the other side of the river, but Inari knows just where it is and how to adjust their path so that they're less likely to encounter any of that tribe on their way. So we're going to mark progress on the journey. It's up to 4 out of 10. And anything else for a strong hit there? May trade plus one momentum for minus one supply. I think I'm good. They travel most of the day, and when it comes time to camp, Kalira says, well, we should find some place to settle in for the night. Preferably without any elder trees there. I've had quite enough of those. How common are they?
Oh, not very, really. They're dangerous as anything, especially if you encounter them alone, but they don't pop up all that often.
So they are going to make camp... Rolling plus supply. I have a 2 plus 5 is 7 versus a 2 and an 8. So that is a weak hit.
I can choose.
Well, my spirit is actually at +5 at the moment. I didn't actually suffer any damage to that during that fight, which might have been thematically appropriate, but I didn't think of it. Supply is still at +5. I could get a little more momentum out of that. Let's go ahead and do that. +1 momentum, -1 supply. Momentum is to 7, supply to 4.
Here, let me look at your nose again, says Kalyra.
All right. And Inari submits himself to Kalyra's healing hands.
And that would be 4 plus 3 versus a 6. And 3 is a weak hit.
Oh, that's coming along, she says. I think you'll be just as handsome as you were before. Ha! I know just how handsome I was before. It's a good thing that we elves wear masks.
Oh, you're not so bad, she says.
Thanks, I think, he says. Anyway, it was an honorably gained wound. Oh, man. I hope I can talk more normally soon.
Hopefully in the morning your nasal passages will have cleared a little bit.
I hope so, because, man, I sound like an idiot right now. Jeez.
And Kalyra laughs. And we're going to advance. Spending 2 XP in order to check off. When you heal a companion, ally, or other character, and you score a hit, take +1 spirit or +1 momentum. And penciling that in, filling in the XP bubbles up there. I've now spent 5 XP, 3 on the Death Touch asset, 2 on upgrading Herbalist. And I'm going to give her the benefit of that immediately. Her spirit's at +5 right now, so she's going to take +1 momentum.
In the morning, Kalyra and Inari wake up, having spent the night in their bedrolls on opposite sides of the campfire. Inari is up first and heads down to the river, where he bathes his face again and sort of snorts some water into his nose to help clear it a little bit.
Ah, that's a little better, he says. A little better.
Nope.
Give it time, Kalyra says as she wakes up, stretches, and rolls her bedroll together. In another few days, you'll be back. You'll be good as new.
I hope we don't encounter any other elves, he says, sort of. I wish it would be one or the other, he says. I keep clogging up halfway through a sentence. Excuse me. And he goes and blows his nose off to the side.
Ah, that's a little better, I think.
Come on, I've got places to go.
Where are you going anyway? He says.
I have some business up north. She's tired of explaining this to people.
What kind of business? He says.
Oh, all right. And as they undertake a journey that day, she's going to explain the whole situation to him again. Undertaking a journey, and 2 + 2 = 4 versus a 4 and a 3, so weak hit. Get to mark progress at the cost of 1 supply.
towards the end of the day, they come to the edge of the deep wilds, looking at the hogback, the stone ridge which marks the border of the hinterlands. Not terribly far to Alia'anor's house now. We should press on and stay the night there. "Who is this Alia'anor?" says Inari. "She's a wise woman. She's the oldest human woman that I've ever met. She was one of the first settlers who came from the old world. She was the one who told me to go and find a Kokari to ask about this."
"Well, by all means," he says, "off to Alia'anor's house."
And now I think I'm going to ask the Oracle a question, which is Alia'anor still alive? She was quite old. I think it is likely that she is still alive, considering that although she was very ill the last time Alia'anor saw her, Kalyra had healed her and gotten a very strong result with doubles on the check. So I think it's likely that Alia'anor is still with us. Let's see what the Oracle has to say. 26 or higher means that she is still with us. 54. As Inari and Kalyra emerge from the deep wilds into the thinner pine forest of the hinterlands and make their way up over the stone ridge and down and up and down through the valleys beyond, they soon come to the hut of Alia'anor, pine thatched and sitting at the base of the enormous mesa. Smoke still trails through the top of the hut, and as they approach, Kalyra calls out, "Hello! Hello, the hut! It's Kalyra!" And there is a rustling, and Tegan, Alia'anor's grandson, pops his head out of the hut. He doesn't frown exactly, but his lips press together firmly. He says, "Back, are you?" "Yes, just briefly. Could we stay the night, please?" Tegan glances back over his shoulder and evidently hears someone speaking within, and he says, "Yes, come in. Who's your friend?" Kalyra says, "This is Inari of the Skaran." "Not of the Skaran," says Inari. "Not anymore." "This is Inari," says Kalyra, "of no clan any longer." And Tegan raises an eyebrow. "Well, come on in then. Leave your weapons outside." Kalyra and Inari leave their sword and spear outside of the door and enter the hut. There they find that Alia'anor is sitting up in good spirits and good health.
"Ah, the young girl Kalyra returns. Tell me, did you find a Kokari?"
"Yes," says Kalyra. "I found two clans of elves. The first wanted nothing to do with me on account of..." She gestures at her eyes. Alia'anor nods. "The second one... oh, it's quite a story. And, she recounts the tales of everything that happened amongst the Skaran clan, and Alia'anor listens with interest. Turning to Inari, Alia'anor says something in the language of the elves.
He looks a little surprised and responds in the same language. Kalira looks over at Tegan, who is looking as blank as she is.
Yes, I can see how that would be an inconvenience, says Alia Anor. I was just curious as to why he wasn't wearing his mask, she tells Kalira and Tegan.
How do you know Elven? Says Kalira. Well, I did tell you that I lived among them for a while, many years ago. I am a bit rusty, but I still remember how to speak the language, a little.
Which clan did you stay with? Says Ainari.
Oh, I stayed with the Hartu. It was only for a year or so.
The Hartu? Interesting. They're a long way from here. How did you come to know them? Asks Ainari. And they settle in and trade tales over the course of the evening. Alia Anor has led a long and rich life and is able to tell them many things, many stories about what she has seen and done, and there's been so much of it. Towards the end of the evening, before they go to bed, she asks Kalira, slightly more privately, when Tegan and Ainari have stepped out for a moment to lay in a fresh supply of firewood for the next day. Alia Anor says, "And what of your quest to save your father?" Kalira says, "Well, Varys told me that he thinks my father must have struck some sort of bargain with the primordial, that becoming a primordial is the price that he has to pay for whatever that bargain was. He said that I should talk to the primordial, find out what it wants, see if there's some other price I could offer it."
"This is good advice," says Alia Anor.
"Will it even talk to me?" Clara says. "The last time I was there it did, but then I tried to free my father and we fought. Why should it talk to me again?"
"You can only try," says Alia Anor. "You can only try. If it refuses to talk to you, well, I don't think there's much that either you or I can do about that. But if you never try to talk to it, then you will certainly fail in your quest."
"You told me that it was easier to damage them with a club or a maul," says Kalira. "Do you think I should, I don't know, make a club before I go, just in case?"
"That depends," says Alia Anor. "Do you want to talk with it, or do you want to fight it? Because if you approach it with a weapon that has clearly been made to harm it, I think you will find it more difficult to get it to talk."
Kalira just breathes out.
"Yes, I suppose that's right.
And what will you offer it?"
"I don't know," Kalira says. "What can I offer it?" And then a thought occurs to her and she says, "I could offer to take his place." I suppose you could, says Alianor thoughtfully.
Do you think it would accept?
I don't know, Calyra says. Varys said that they're just as smart as people. Maybe it doesn't really care who, as long as it gets what it wants, which is apparently another Earth primordial.
I cannot say. Such fascinating creatures, but so hard to find any reliable information about them. I told you about meeting that water elemental, or seeing it anyway, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
I've always been fascinated with them, ever since. I saw the water elemental. I saw an air elemental once, passing by. I've never seen a fire primordial, nor have I seen an earth primordial. There are not so very many of them out there, I think. Ah, what I would give to see that.
It's not so far, says Calyra.
Maybe not for you, says Alianor. I have old bones. I think it is doubtful that I will be making any more long journeys.
Let me look at you, Calyra says. I want to check on you, see how you're doing. Have you been recovering from your illness well?
Oh, yes, very well, says Alianor. In fact, I feel somewhat better than I have in some time.
Well, let me look at you anyway, says Calyra, and examines her, listening to her chest for signs of lingering breathing trouble.
You remind me of my own daughter, says Alianor.
Where does she live? Asks Calyra. And Alianor just shakes her head.
She passed away in childbirth many years ago.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear it, says Calyra, sitting back.
It is one of the great griefs of my life. No parent should have to live through the death of their own child. I wouldn't wish it on anyone.
Calyra doesn't really know what to say to that. But about that time, Inari and Tegan return, having laid in a supply of firewood.
It has grown late, and I am tired, says Alianor. Let us go to sleep.
And so they make their way, they unroll their bedrolls, and take their rest. Make a sojourn move here. I have a 4 plus 3 is 7 versus a 7 and a 10. So I have missed. I could burn momentum to make it a weak hit, but I'm not going to, because within the next day or so, Calyra will be facing the Earth Primordial once again, and she may need that momentum. So instead, she is going to pay the price. And I will roll for it. 16. You are separated from something or someone.
In the morning, Kalyra opens her eyes. She is the first to wake, it seems. She sits up and stretches, gets dressed, fetches water to begin making tea. As she returns to the hut and sets the tea to boil, her gaze falls over at Alia Anor, and she stops. Oh no, she says, and drops the kettle to the floor with a clatter. Tegan and Inari wake up. What is it? Says Inari. Look. She points at Alia Anor, who lies still on her bed, not breathing. Grandam, says Tegan, and he rushes over to her, says, no. But there is nothing to be done. Sometime during the night, Alia Anor, the wise woman, possibly the last of the generation to settle the Ironlands, slipped away, peacefully, in her bed. I'm so sorry, Tegan, says Kalyra.
Get out, says Tegan. You're not welcome here any longer. Just get out.
And Kalyra backs up.
Out,
he says. And so she gathers her things and leaves Inari along with her. They stop a little ways out into the woods. Shouldn't we do something? Kalyra says. Help to bury her?
I do not think you're welcome here any longer, says Inari. And your father is waiting.
Kalyra weeps a little for the woman that she knew so briefly. Going to forge a bond, or attempt to forge a bond with Alia Anor, belated though it might be. Oh, boy. 5 + 3 = 8 versus double tens. Kalyra, weeping, looks back at the hut and whispers, I was glad to know you. For however little it was, and from somewhere, from nowhere, she hears a whisper back that says, my time is done, and yours grows short. Suffering two spirit, enduring stress. Three plus three is six versus double eight. -1 momentum.
And one further spirit damage, I think, for the doubles. He said I would hear them. He said I would hear them more easily. Come on. If you're coming, Inari, I have to go. And Kalyra turns and rushes towards her father. And that is where we're going to call session.